Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I hate to break it, you're not the same as anyone here. Well, not if you're coming along to the Say My Name movie gala screening in celebration with Amnesty International on the 23rd of April at the Odeon Leicester Square Lux. That's right, that's the cinema where so many of the amazing premieres happen. I'm Deborah Frances White and I wrote the film. I'm also in the film, and Sindhu V is also starring in the film, as well as other faces you'll recognise, including Peter Davison, who was Doctor Who. Come along and support it. It was all shot in Wales and we used a predominantly Welsh cast, shout out. And it was produced and written by a woman. So please come along and support it and support Amnesty, where I, Deborah Frances White, and The Guilty Feminist will be announcing a special relationship with Amnesty going forward and some very exciting projects. Don't miss it. Our dress code is glam, but you can wear whatever you like, whatever glam means to you. Hope to see you there. Get tickets at guiltyfeminist.com or the Odeon Cinema website. Say My Name, 23rd of April, Odeon Lux, Leicester Square Cinema. And now, Global Pillage.
To break it, you're not the same as anyone here, but we can take it. We're short, we're brown, we're round, or we're queer. I got a feeling we are onto something here.
Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Shop presents Global Pillage, the comedy panel show starring you. Frances White, and this is Global Pillage, the comedy panel show in which we pillage the globe for quirky truths and amazing facts. We're like modern-day pirates, except for the fact that our treasure is information and none of us is Johnny Depp. And we do this show because we love other countries, especially other European countries. Like our European country. Other people who love being European include today's comedians. On my left, playing for Bad Yogis, Abigail Shimon and Natlet Seema. And on my right, playing for Good Vibes, Mary O'Connell and Rubes Walsh. So, panellists, what makes you diverse? Abigail Shimon.
Hi, I'm Abigail. I'm American. And on Monday, I was walking down the high street in Camden listening to the musical Wicked, and I started to weep, and that's how I knew I was on my period.
Wow. I thought you were going to say that's how I knew I was American.
That too.
Natlet Seema, how are you diverse?
Oh, my dad is Dutch-Indonesian, but my mum is Watford, and if you have a kid with a Watford woman, those Watford genes will dominate. And the Watford woman will dominate as well, so
excellent.
Just a warning.
And why are you called Bad Yogis?
Abigail teaches yoga, and I'm terrible at yoga.
And I am also bad at yoga, I just have a certificate to prove it.
Good vibes. Mary O'Connell, could you please tell me why are you diverse?
Yeah, my name's Mary. I'm from North London, and I'm diverse because I dress like a T4 presenter on purpose.
Excellent. And Rubes J. Walsh?
I'm diverse because I get hormonal, but I don't bleed. Trans girl.
Making fact verification cool like podcast budget Rachel Riley, please welcome in Pedant's Corner, Ned Sedgwick. And please welcome our new Master of the Keys for today's episode, Joanna Biko. Joanna, what makes you diverse?
I have this neurological condition where when I listen to music, I see colours. The condition is called chromesthesia. I think I've pronounced it correctly. Yeah.
And that's the first time you've played our theme tune. Yeah. What colour was it?
Beige? Beige white? Yeah. Did I say something wrong?
I'm not going to tell Mark Hodge wrote that.
Deborah, beige is a really good colour for synesthesia and chromesthesia. So
Yeah. Totally made that up.
It also means that the theme song goes with anything.
That's true. It's a neutral. And Ned Sedgwick, have you had any global experiences lately?
I have had a few, and actually they make up some of the first round questions. But I'm going to go for a conversation I had with a German person about football, and I can't put football questions in because the Venn diagram of people who are interested in football and people who are interested in this podcast is me.
That's not true. We must have some football fans in. There you go.
I tell a lie. Anyway, apparently the Germans call midweek fixtures an English week because we play so much football. So if they have games not on a Saturday and Sunday, they're like, oh, yeah, English week. I'm not sure why they're speaking Dutch when they do it, but...
Surely they said in German. What's English week in German?
English week.
So is it. You live in the Netherlands, don't you, Rubes? Yeah. Do you speak any Dutch?
I do speak a bit of Dutch, yeah.
What's English week in Dutch?
It's also English week.
Oh. Ned, you were correct. Ned, this bodes well for your fact-checking this
week.
Yeah,
good.
Each week, our pianist takes a folk tune and turns it into a scores jingle, which sparks so much joy, even Marie Kondo wouldn't throw it away. Joanna, over to you.
OK, so I decided to take Doe Deer.
What is the score, please? Net, 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 net.
Lovely.
You look so comfortable with that.
Each week we try and make sure that the jingle gives Ned nightmares.
Yeah.
He wakes up in the night with an audience around him going, Ned, 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 Ned. First up is our themed round, and this week we'll be asking questions on the theme of France. We'll go all around France and Frenchness, almost like a tour, or a tour of France, or a tour de France, if you can possibly imagine such a thing, which we can. Imagine being able to go any time to France just with your lovely red passport and then just come back again like it's no thing at all, because it isn't, because it's basically like going to the same country. It's so exciting. You can just do it any time. You could live there, you could work there, you could marry there, you could do whatever you wanted and nobody would ask you any questions. Imagine that. How amazing. No, if you had that, you definitely wouldn't give it away for no reason. All the teams
Which way did you vote out of interest?
That's private. Yeah. All the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first with the correct answer. The hive mind gets a chance to answer after both teams of comedians have answered. Fingers on buzzers. Why must you never bring wine to a French dinner party? Good vibes.
Because it's never going to be as good as their wine. And, like, who are you trying to impress? Like, you're at the dinner, so just be yourself.
It's never going to be as good as their wine. Probably true, Bad Yogis.
A lot of French places I've been to, they're quite tall buildings. And once you've lugged it all the way up that flight of stairs, you'll be really sweaty, and they'd rather you just didn't bring the wine and weren't so sweaty.
How much wine do you take to a dinner?
A lot, and I'm really unfit and I sweat a lot.
Fair enough.
Bad if anyone yogis. Wants to invite me to dinner.
Hot.
So in case of excess perspiration,
armpits,
which the French have
mainly.
An aversion to.
Back, a bit of groin.
I mean, it's verging on my neck, my back.
Wow.
So, Abigail, do you back your partner up there?
Yeah, well, it's also because, like, you know, to bring chrysanthemums to someone's house, chrysanthemums are a symbol of death. It's very bad. So you don't want to take wine to a French person's house because it's a symbol of death because, you know, you drink too much and then there's a fight and you bash them with a wine bottle and then they'd be dead. I thought that'd be funny, and no one went with it, so I back my partner.
I think I have an answer.
Yeah.
Just a competitive, genuinely think it might be true answer, is that you don't necessarily know what they're cooking, and so it might not be the right wine pairing, and then they'll build French about it.
Everyone knows who on the panel they'd invite to dinner. Not violent,
yeah,
not
I won't
sweaty.
Bring wine.
At posh English dinner parties, you're meant to bring flowers rather than wine. But I always think when people turn up to my house with flowers when I'm in the middle of, like, I mean, not cooking because I never cook, but when people turn up flowers when my husband is in the middle of cooking, I'm like, oh, I've got into the kitchen now, get a vase, you know. Yeah. Frankly, I'd like them to bring money. Hive mind, why must you never bring wine to a French dinner party?
It implies that their wine isn't good enough.
Basically my answer.
They think you're already drunk.
Probably English.
Because it means you're probably English. Anything else?
They prefer champagne.
Ah, they prefer champagne. Okay. All right. So if you think it's your cellar isn't good enough, I'm judging it by presuming to bring a better bottle of wine. Buzz now. If you think it implies you're already drunk, buzz now.
Oh.
Nobody's gone for that at all, even the person who said it. If you think it means you're probably English, buzz now. A funny answer, but not one anyone's backing. Or if you think it's better to bring champagne, buzz now. You are correct. It is considered an insult to the host's wine knowledge.
Actually, Rubes had it bang on. French dinners say it's really important when you're making a dinner to pair correctly, the wine with the food.
Not just so anything you've got from odd bins.
This Rioja was on special. It's £3 down in Sainsbury's. So, like,
Jägermeister goes with everything.
And it makes you fighty and sweaty.
More full La France.
Question number two on Frenchness. We know what a petit mort is. Do we all know what that is? Petit mort? Little death? Thank you, orgasm. But what event is known in France as the funeral of the life of a young man or woman? Good vibes.
Is it a dry spell?
a dry spell in your sex life. Just a little interim where not much is happening and you think...
And you wish you were dead.
Okay, so a spell so dry you wish you were dead. Bad yogis?
I think it's when they hit puberty. Because now you're aging and you're no longer relevant to media or show business.
Wow, it comes so young and young these days.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Britney Spears, she wouldn't have been famous if she was 17. She was 15, so it's fine.
Okay, puberty, Nat.
I think it's the first time you bail on a night out because there aren't any chairs.
Yeah. Buzz.
Yeah, I hear that. Hive mind, what in France is the funeral of the life of a young man or woman?
Their marriage.
Their marriage? Marriage, you might as well be dead.
Having a child.
Having a child.
Guys, it's a bit bleak.
Virtually your own funeral because you no longer matter. Your
first heartbreak?
Your first heartbreak.
Aww.
Okay, so if you think the funeral of the life of a young man or woman is their marriage, buzz now. Child, having a child, buzz now. Heartbreak, buzz now. Okay, you loved that one, but you didn't vote for it. You said marriage. In fact, that's the closest. It's a stag or hen do.
Yeah. I was speaking to my French friend about it. By the way, I've got to thank my friend Flor de Tine for giving me all these answers. Just made question writing very easy.
Did you just go to a party instead of doing a research and corner a French person?
No. I went to a party and didn't do my research. It wasn't instead of.
Cornered a French person and said, give me all the answers or I'm not letting you out of the corner.
Well, we were talking about stag and hen do's and we were like, oh, are they the same? And she was like, fewer penis straws, but still some. And we were like, oh, do they have a funny name? She's like, no, not really. We just call them funeral of a young man or woman. I'm like, it's pretty weird. It's perfectly normal, no?
So, question number three. At the French Epiphany dinner, and I must pause here, Ned, what is the French Epiphany dinner?
The French Epiphany dinner marks the arrival of the three magi, the three kings, to see Jesus, and it kind of marks his Jesus's acceptance of divinity. When people are like, this is legit, this guy.
The epiphany was when the people had the epiphany that this baby was not like, just any baby, but this baby was going to save the world.
They were like, he's a big hitter, this guy.
At the French Epiphany dinner, what is hidden in the traditional cake? Bad yogis.
The youngest member of the dinner party.
What, they have to jump out like Marilyn Monroe or something? And just sort of sing Happy Birthday, Dear Jesus?
Yes.
So it's sort of more of a show cake.
It is definitely a show cake, but then you can eat bits of the cake off the youngest person, depending on their hairiness.
So if the younger person is a baby, do you have to bury them in a cake? Is that not rather frightening?
Yeah, but it's the French for you, Deborah. They mean their religious holidays. But it could be a 32-year-old.
Right, it just depends.
It just depends.
In this case, it would take on a very different tone.
Exactly. A baby bursting out of a cake, frightening. A 32-year-old bursting out of a cake.
There's no good age to burst naked, but you must be naked.
Oh, it's naked. It's the most naked youth in the room.
I mean, maybe 5 years old is the only time when that's fine. You can explain it to them later. It's kind of fun.
Don't video it for Facebook, though, because they're going to have to live with that forever.
Why did you make that inappropriate, guys?
Abigailia, do you... Are you backing me?
Well, I've derived what I think might be the real answer. You know, you have your little nativity scene, you know, with all that you set up. You guys have these here, right? So I think what you bury is the statues of the three wise men into the cake. And the reason why I say that is because in Catholicism, when you want to sell your house, it's considered good to take St. Joseph and bury him upside down in the garden facing your house. My mom did that, but she accidentally put Joseph the wrong way, and we sold the neighbor's house.
All right, good vibes. What do you put in the French Epiphany cake?
The King James Bible. Just bake it in there.
Would the French have a lot of truck with the King James Bible, given it's our Bible?
It's just their chosen Bible. Because they don't want to waste their Bible, so they're like, well, we'll use a Bible that
I know they're not using. Of, like, papery shoe pastry. But I think they might complain it tasted of cardboard.
So what do you think, Rubes?
Well, I have a theory. So you know how the French like perfume? And you know how the Magi brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, two of which are basically perfume? Well, maybe it used to be perfume and a gold coin, and now it's just a 2 euro coin.
So coins, like you put in the Christmas pudding?
That's my theory.
Okay, that's your theory. Hive mind. At the French Epiphany dinner, what is hidden in the traditional cake? A little figure of baby Jesus. Naked or clothed?
Jumping? Shouting surprise?
Mini baby bell?
A mini baby bell. A mini baby bell, which represents the baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus. The baby Jesus.
The little baby Jesus.
Because, of course, in France, Jesus is translated as fromage, which means in similar transliteration.
Yes.
A cross?
A cross?
Prophecy of your demise.
Prophecy of your demise.
I hope that was related to the answer.
So, if you think in the French Epiphany dinner traditional cake is a baby Jesus... Buzz now. If you think it's a baby cheeses, buzz now. If you think it's a cross, buzz now. Or if you think it's prophecy of your demise, buzz now. Just the front amount. In fact, it's 2 crowns for the king and the queen.
Now, buckle up, because this is a long answer. I went to one of these epiphany dinners, and you know your youngest person thing?
Yeah.
Kind of accurate.
Shut up, man.
The youngest person,
idiot. Half a point.
The youngest person who was me had to get under a table and remember everyone's name.
What?
And then they'd already cut the cake up. I was under the table so I couldn't see which bit they were giving out. And I had to say everyone's name. If I got anyone's name wrong, I had to do a shot of cider, which isn't that alcoholic, idiots.
I thought you were going to say they kick you.
That's just for reasons, other reasons. The man who gets the crown then nominates a queen, and they then nominate somebody to have a nice drink of cider. It's very peculiar.
It sounds like a bad improv game.
Yeah.
What happens if one of them chokes?
Under the table they go.
Then they better pray to the baby cheeses.
And it's the end of the round!
What is the score, please? Net, 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 net.
Bad yogis are in third place with a begrudging 5 points. And good vibes and the hive mind are tied in first place with 10 points each.
Yay!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The next round is everyone's favorite round. Idioms! For example, in Hong Kong, they retitled the film My Best Friend's Wedding as Help. My pretend boyfriend is gay. Whereas the Hong Kong film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was retitled in my home as, don't get me wrong, Michelle Yeoh is a living god, but 2 hours of watching people jump on roofs is 2 hours too much watching people jump on roofs. What is the meaning of this foreign phrase which we have literally translated into English, fingers on buzzers? In Vietnam, they say, a cat's claws don't mark the wall. Bad yogis.
Don't ever criticise the cat. Never criticise the cat. You will be out of this house and she will remain, okay? She will outlast you, she will outlast all my relationships. Don't you ever criticise the cat. That's what that means.
Have you got a webcam into my flat? Sounds a lot like you have.
Yeah, similar life philosophy of mine. That's why the cat behaves terribly.
Abigailia, do you agree a cat's claws don't mark the wall?
I definitely agree because I don't have pets of any kind, so I find this material completely unrelatable.
Would you like a pet?
No. I'm dangerously allergic to anything with fur.
Oh, okay. So there's actually a cat under the table. Ah!
If it gets my name right.
It's just had a shot of cider. Good vibes. In Vietnam, they say cat's claws don't mark the wall. What do they mean?
Cats just aren't very important and we don't listen to them.
Oh my God, you shut your face.
Opposite.
Yeah, I think it's the opposite. Because they don't mark the wall, so...
We don't even notice.
They don't make an impact.
They've just got no charisma.
Basically.
They walk in the room, I don't even understand.
I don't like them.
Do you not like cats?
No, I don't care for them.
Are you a dog person?
I'm not any animal person. I'm just like, I like to have a conversation with like living things and so they can't talk to me, so...
I think these are warning signs when someone becomes a serial killer. And then we'll be like, well, she didn't like any animals, so, you know.
They don't just stay away from them. We don't...
What, because they're not good conversationalists?
Yeah, because I want to talk to you, but they can't talk back.
Yeah, that's why I don't like babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Waste of time.
What?
Babies are definitely worse.
I'm on board with these guys.
This has taken a turn.
No, but have you ever like tried to have a chat about babies? It's like, oh, have you read about what's going on in Ukraine recently? And they couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Well, but they do give a shit.
That's all they give. Rubes, what do you think this means?
Well, I wonder if... You know how cats are evil? I mean, they're great, but they're also kind of evil, right? They're plotting against us.
Sure.
And I kind of think that maybe they're climbing the wall or they're doing something nefarious but not leaving any trace.
And do you think this is actually about cats, or do you think perhaps it's a metaphor?
Be a strange...
That's what everyone else has guessed. They've guessed that the idiom thing is in fact about cats, and I'm pointing out that idioms about cats are usually not about cats.
No. I definitely didn't mean that it was
okay,
actually
about
cats.
Okay, so you think it's like an evil person doesn't leave a trace.
Yeah.
They cover their tracks.
They cover their claws.
All right, hive mind. Cat's claws don't mark the wall. What does that idiom mean? Weak people don't make a difference. Okay, that sounds a bit like a heckle. Okay, thank you.
Can't hurt you, like sticks and stones.
Sticks and stones can break my bones. Okay. Anything else?
The builder's done a good job on the refurb.
All right. Okay, if you think it's weak people don't make a difference, buzz now. If you think it's sticks and stones don't break my bones, buzz now. And if you think it's the builders have done a great job on the refurb, buzz now. Okay. That got a round of applause, but no votes. In fact, it means you're all bark and no bite.
That's about dogs.
So here's the thing. In Britain, we've used a dog idiom. But in Vietnam, they've used a cat idiom. And three of our four panellists thought the idiom itself was about cats. So, for example, don't cry over spilt milk. Not about milk. Just to be very, very clear, it's an idiom.
I think we should have explained what idioms are.
I feel I don't really know what they are.
Starting to question myself.
In Madagascar, they say, you are loved like a door. What does that mean?
Bad yogis.
You give me plenty of privacy so I can have a wank.
Right, good. Yep, privacy.
Right, wank down. That's the important part. I used the British idiom.
You have. Well done. I'm going to write masturbation because I find that other word embarrassing.
What is the Ohio word for a wank?
Jerk off. You can say jerk off, but you can't
somehow
say wank. Wank sounds like so like fun, like confetti.
Don't
like
jerk
your
off.
Fingers.
For the listeners at home, Abigailiah was miming an ejaculation.
Yeah. To be honest, this isn't great for a podcast, to be honest, us describing gestures. You were loved like a doornut.
Well, I mean, I was going to say you're large and convenient, you came with the house and it's too much trouble to replace you.
Good vibes.
You're a closed person.
You're putting up a locked door.
That's what I think it is.
You're loved like a locked door. Okay.
I've got to push past you to get home. That's my best guess.
Okay. All right. That sounds a bit frightening. Hive mind. In Madagascar, they say you were loved like a door. What do they mean?
Strong and stable.
Strong
but the
and
horse
stable.
Is bolted.
Well, if we know anything about strong and stable. Anything else?
You're unappreciated.
I love my door. He gives me plenty of privacy.
She's wanking away behind it.
Unappreciated. Anything else?
A lot of people love you.
A lot of people love you. Because
you must have
a
great door.
Well, is it because a lot of people use the door?
Yeah.
Again, idiom. He's thinking more of an idiom.
Sorry. I'm learning.
Anything else? Feel promiscuous. You were loved like a door.
Everyone gets a turn.
Put the door knob.
Anyone can come inside.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, so if you think it's you're strong and stable like a door, buzz now. If it means you're unappreciated in your relationship, buzz now. A lot of people love you, buzz now. Promiscuous, buzz now. Okay, you've gone for unappreciated, and I think that's the closest. It's you are being pushed around in your relationship.
No, that it is that. It's unappreciated, so spot on.
Spot on! High-minded score!
In Spain, who is the person who cuts the cod? Bad yogis.
Pass gas. Like fart. Like you cut the cheese, you cut the
Trump.
Cod.
Well, this is who is the person who?
The farter.
I will give you more of a clue. I don't think we'd phrase it that way.
Okay, who is the person who cuts the cod? They're a cod cutter.
Abu Ghala doesn't speak for the pair of us. I think it's like playing mother, which is very sexist, but when you pour the tea out for everyone and you're like, I'll cut the cod. Don't write down farter.
Good vibes. Who's the person who cuts?
Well, I was going to say fishmonger, but then I remembered the definition of an idiom.
Idiom.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
really but if difficult. It was a fishmonger, it wouldn't be an idiom. It would just be a description of their job. So not that.
I'm going to write it down.
So who is the person who cuts the cod?
I think it's just like a really witty person. Like, they're cutting, they're smarter than fish.
Smarter than fish?
Yeah.
Okay. So the person who's smarter than fish, oh, they're so smart they can catch the fish and cut it, therefore they're witty.
Or they bring home the bacon, maybe?
Yeah, like maybe that, fishing, yeah.
So the person who brings home the bacon, okay.
Well, now you're mixing your idioms, and I'm not mastering a simple idiom first.
Well, sometimes an idiom in English has an equivalent idiom in Spanish, and so I think Rubes is presenting what she thinks is the English equivalent.
She's playing 3D chess, and I've got Lego up my nose.
That's going on my Twitter bio.
Hive mind. In Spain, if somebody said, oh, you cut the cod, who would you be?
A bossy person.
A bossy person.
The person who wears the pants.
Who wears the pants?
A hard worker.
Hard worker.
A manual worker, a manual laborer.
Manual worker.
Someone who breaks the silence.
Breaks the silence.
With a fart. She's pushing an agenda.
Okay, if you think it's a bossy person, Buzznow. Where's the trousers, Buzznow? Hard worker, Buzznow. Manual worker, Buzznow. Breaks the silence, Buzznow. Okay, you've gone for breaks the silence. In fact, you would have been better off with bossy or where's the trousers. It's the one in charge calling the shots. So you backed the wrong horse. That's an idiom. There are no real horses. And it's the end of the round.
What is the score, please?
Net. In third place, it is the Bad Yogis with 5 points.
Consistent.
Yep, very consistent. In second place, it's Good Vibes with 10 points. And in first place, it's a Hive Mind with 20 points.
Round is the team's round. A member of each team has come prepared with a question based on their cultural family background. Perhaps someone here has a religion that believes learning is forbidden, or where loud laughter is an insult. To be fair, we'd probably have noticed them by now from the bit where they'd have walked out, because we're learning and laughing so much. Good vibes. Do you have a question for the Bad Yogis?
Yes. So, my family's from Grenada, also known as the Isle of Spice. What spice do we have on our flag?
And what spice do you have on your flag?
I mean, I'm going nutmeg, but that is a pure shot in the dark.
Well, now, funnily enough, I actually saw a documentary about nutmeg, and it was very interesting.
Did it appear on a flag at any point?
I don't remember that bit, and I wish I'd paid a bit more attention. But nutmeg's very expensive.
Right. Well, just what spice is...
Saffron's very expensive.
Yes, but does it grow in Granada? Just out of curiosity, what's your national dish?
Just making small talk.
I guess it would be roti, which is like a curry.
Okay.
Oh. There's lots of spices in a curry, though.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like curry powder from the supermarket.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a
nice little jar.
Yeah.
1 pound
of Sainsbury's.
I've got not a thought in my little head.
Okay, why don't we go with cinnamon stick?
But they're not the Christmas island.
Yeah, that's true. So why?
Let's go back with nutmeg. You thought nutmeg.
Yeah, nutmeg.
I believed
we
you.
Go nutmeg.
Yeah, we go nutmeg.
Is it nutmeg?
It is.
Oh my God! Can you imagine if you hadn't gone for that? What?
bogeys of Scott. That was such a shot in the dark. And by shot in the dark, it is an idiom. There was no shot. And the lights are on. Okay, so bad yogis, well done. You have scored. Now let's see if you can score again, because you need to give a question to the hive mind. If they don't get the answer right, you get points.
I think we should retire now, though.
Yeah,
we just leave now.
Good night, everyone.
See ya.
Okay, so in the Midwest, where I'm from, we define industry by belts. And I live in Ohio, so there are two belts of industry that run through Ohio. What are they?
I get the answers in.
So there's rust, two belts.
Two belts. So what options have we got? Rust, I heard someone say.
Corn belt.
Corn. Don't answer yet. What was that? Eyeball.
Bible.
Oh, Bible. Okay, all right.
Big industry.
Anything
big
else?
Industry.
I mean, the Bible is a big industry in America because those televangelists make millions.
Yeah. I still think belt makers should be a belt.
Belt belt.
Belt.
Okay, so we've got rust, corn, and Bible. Anything else?
Automobile
belt. Okay, are any of those correct?
Yes.
Are two of those correct?
Yes.
So now you've got to get behind the two you think it is. So if you think it's rust, buzz now. If you think it's Bible, buzz now. If you think it's automobile, buzz now. And if you think it's corn, buzz now. Feels like I've just buzzed for all of them, guys. You're going to have to make a choice here.
I think one and four were the ones they buzzed for, Matt.
Okay, yeah. Rust and corn. Okay, if you think it's rust and corn, shout yes.
Yes.
Okay, they've gone for rust and corn. Is it rust and corn?
And they are right.
Yay! We are smashing this round today.
For like 10 seconds we will
win. Okay,
yeah.
Hive Mind, do you have a question for Good Vibes? Let's see if we can make it 3 for 3.
My name is Boris and I'm coming from Bosnia. So we have this idiom in Bosnia, and literally when I'm translating from Bosnian to English, it would be sitting on horse.
So if you say I'm sitting on a horse,
yeah.
It's a very short idiom, isn't it? Because it could really be confused with actually sitting on a horse. So if somebody says, they're sitting on a horse, if they're not really sitting on a horse, what does it mean?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yep.
You wouldn't say it about yourself?
No, you would say about the other person,
Okay, so it's insulting.
What a jaded view of the world.
Okay. So maybe they're like, they're ready to go, like they're ready to leave, or they're about yourself.
Well, okay, is it based on sort of context?
There's so much pressure now, we have to get this.
Okay,
so give yourself one brand new answer.
Tired.
He's sitting on a horse, he's tired.
No.
Oh, what's the real answer?
It's basically like getting a jackpot.
Hitting the jackpot?
Oh.
He's sitting on a horse. He's won the jackpot.
Horses are very expensive, Deborah.
That makes sense.
Do you understand the origin of it? Can you tell us any more about that?
Basically, it's a say in my country. And sitting on a horse, beating a corner, it means like not just like get a jackpot. It's like get a new job or get anything good in your life.
So I guess it comes from a time when rich people got to ride horses and poor people had to walk.
Yeah, well, under the Ottoman Empire, only certain groups were allowed to ride horses, only like barons and stuff. If you're in certain groups, you weren't
allowed. That is a brilliant bit of Brit-splaining to a Bosnian.
I thought I was just mansplaining to you, I didn't know.
End of the round.
What is the score, please?
Net.
In third place, it is Good Vibes with 10 points. In second place, sadly not as consistent as they were before, it is the Bad Yogis with 15 points. And in first place, slightly running away with it now, it is a Hive Mind with 35 points.
Now it's the It's a Sign round. Everybody's marching these days. Some protesters come home to see the hilarious slogans on their signs all over social media. For example, the brilliant woman at a rally in the States who had a sign reading, "Without immigrants, Trump would have no wives." Teams.
We'd like you to make some share-worthy signs, and Ned will award creativity points for his favourites. So this is a time where teams, you could claw back some points. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have 30 seconds to write your slogans for today's protest, which is against industrial farming methods. Okay, Joanna, take it away. Anything industrial? You want to go back to just planting things with your hands, stroking animals?
That's all right. I'm going to do...
And time's up! All right. Bad yogis, what have you got?
We have a cow saying, "Move over, industrial farming."
Nice.
And then it also says...
It also says, "Eat veg instead, you fucks." But I'm vegan, so I really kind of meant that.
Yeah,
sorry. And then also, cow god will judge you. Yeah. And I was going to add something about playing with your nipples, but I had a space issue.
Yeah.
So... You know.
Okay, great, good. Yeah. And there's a picture there because it says sad chicken.
That's a sad chicken.
Because it's really an industrial chicken.
Very busy board, that, isn't it?
Yeah. No, there's lots of options there. I like that. Good vibes. What have you got?
We have "Don't be a chicken, stand up to old McDonald." "Livestock, more like dead stock."
Ooh.
Ooh. "Old McDonald had a cage farm, EIE, I know." "And pigs will have revenge."
Nice.
Nice.
Pigs will.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of wordplay.
Hive Mind, do you have anything to offer that Ned could award points to?
"Take back the plough, but you wouldn't take back the plough."
"Take back the plough? I want to go back to running through fields of wheat."
Hey! "I want to go back to running through fields of wheat." I love that. That might be one of my favourites. While Ned awards creativity points, we go to the final round, which is our quickfire round. Hive Mind, if you know the answer, shout "buzz," and then shout the answer as loudly as you can. Fingers on buzzers and time starts now. What blockbuster film is known in China as Interplanetary Unusual Attacking Team? Bad Yogis?
Independence Day.
No.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Correct. Hive Mind's got it. Guardians of the Galaxy. In the Chinese calendar, what year are we currently in?
Buzz Pig.
Hive Mind is correct. Mozambique and Guatemala are the only two countries with what on their flags?
Nutmeg.
Buzz, Hive Mind, guns, correct. What modern country was formerly known as Zaire?
The Republic of the Congo.
Oh, it's so close, but it isn't. But
the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Yes! In French, they say, a live dog is better than a dead lion. What's the English version?
Better a bird in the hand than two in the bush. That's an idiom, Deborah, and I understood it.
Well, finish this line from the Armenian national anthem. A man dies but once, blessed is the one that dies...
first.
Twice.
No.
Kardashian.
Last.
No, it's for their country.
Oh. Yeah. Looking back. Yeah.
Hygge, the lifestyle known as Hygge, is originated in which country?
Buzz
Denmark is correct, Hive Mind. Finish this Macedonian joke about their government. A motorist parks his car outside the parliament building. "You can't park here," says the cop. "This is where our politicians work." The motorist replies...
They don't work.
Buzz, where are they? Buzz, where are they?
"I am a politician, and here's my parking pass."
No. It's "That's okay, I've locked my car."
Hey, what a ching. That's a good joke.
And we're out of the time, and it's the end of the show.
What is the score, please? Net.
In third place, it is... Bad Yogis with 25 points.
Yay, we did our best! We had so much fun!
In second place, shockingly, it's Good Vibes with 30 points.
Oh! And who's in first place then, Ned?
Narrowly ahead by 30 points. It is a Hive Mind.
The show. So it's a knife and a big fresh cod to our winners, but a ticket for one to Fire Festival 2 for our losers.
And I'll leave you with a saying from Ukraine. The devil always takes back his gifts. And it means easy come, easy go. We have a similar saying in English, which is Theresa May always takes back our membership to the EU. Please give it up for Abigail Shimon, Nat and Seema, Mary O'Connell, Rubes Walsh, Ned Sedgwick in Pennant's Corner, Joanna Biko and Keys, you've the high find, I've been Kevin Francis White, good night! Thanks to Zoe, Sally and everyone at King's Place. For more information about this and other episodes, visit globalpillage.net.
Where in Bosnia are you from? One of the best places.
One of the best places? Yeah. What place were you going to say crap?
No, I've been there and it's one of the best.
All right, TripAdvisor.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, 5 stars.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.